welcome to Walnut Grovecast. My name is Mark, and I am on with Susan King as per the normal. How are you, Susan?
I'm wonderful. Welcome, everybody. Hey, Mark.
Hey. In this episode, we're going to fast forward from last time, a couple years, to season four, towards the end of the run of the season, episode 18.
Yes.
This episode aired the day before my fifth birthday.
Aww.
And I remember it fondly. I do not remember it fondly.
I was 17.
Yeah. But it aired on February 6th, 1978.
Mm-hmm. Written by Arthur Heinemann and directed by Bill Claxton.
That's a pretty interesting little mix.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
The name of the show is The Inheritance, and it is one of the, I like this era of Little House. I think I've said it before. It's where Laura's kind of coming into her own, and people are growing up finally, and you're starting to see that there's a certain longevity of the show that is, you know the show is going to continue at this point. It's a strong, strong scripts, strong show, strong cinematography. Yes. Everything Absolutely. Is brought to the table top notch. And I don't think until maybe season eight do you start seeing kind of these things start degrading.
Right. And I think I had said in another episode that I believe season four was their highest rated season through the entire series. I believe it peaked at number seven for the year. If I'm not mistaken, that season four, which really kind of surprises me because I really thought the episode, the seasons where Mary was blind were the highest episodes. But according to IMDb, season four was their highest rated.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. So you pointed out a really interesting thing that passed by me, but you kind of we always try to point out like where the nonsense is. And this is one of those things that you caught. I thought it was pretty interesting.
Yes.
It's a little bit of modern slang being used in, 1878?
Mm-hmm. But remember, we can't tell anyone. It's just for us.
You mean we're going to be the only ones in the club?
Sure. That way we won't have everyone arguing about who's going to be president and all that stuff.
Yeah. Who is going to be president?
Well, since there's just two of us, we can trade off.
Good idea. A person has to have a place like this where he can get away from his parents.
Yeah, and sisters, too. Well, I better get to my chores.
I'm gonna work on it some more. See you tomorrow.
See ya.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I'm sure glad we're friends.
Me too. Bye.
See ya.
Again, see ya. I thought he was gonna turn and say, what did you say? People don't start saying see ya until maybe the 60s
of
that century.
Yeah, they say it here a lot, a lot. Yeah. I know I need to do a search. I need to see how many episodes they said see ya, because it really is a lot.
Yeah,
I hear it all the time.
Yeah, Laura says it a lot.
Yes, she does. Even in like Meet Me at the Fair, they say that they say it a lot in that episode too. See ya, Mary. See ya, Laura. Yeah.
And they don't use it's not used at all anywhere. Like see ya soon or see you.
No, it's just see ya. See ya. Whenever they're walking away from each other, yeah. See ya.
But I'm saying in literature or
Not that I recall. Not that I recall. Yeah, there's see ya people.
So we have some action that happens almost right away where Charles hurts himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to Jonathan in this scene. I'm just going to play it.
Oh, I hope it's not bad news.
Well, just take it easy, Carol. Let me read this.
Always bad news.
The son of Lansford and Laura Ingalls, matter of utmost importance to you, reply soonest. Roger Whitehead, attorney at law, St. Louis, Missouri.
I knew it. Bad news.
Carolyn's very smart. It's always bad news.
That's right. Telegrams, always bad news.
It really is. So, we're not really sure what's going on here. This is one of these type of situations where, you know, attorneys are weird and, you know, they're not really part of the Little House on the Prairie world.
No.
So we have an attorney visiting.
Until Adam comes.
Yeah, until Adam comes. Yeah, fancy Adam.
Right.
So a lawyer does come up to the farm, and here he is.
Company.
I see.
Good day to you.
Are you Charles Ingalls?
Yes, sir, I am.
My name is Whitehead. Roger Whitehead.
Oh, well, sure. You're the fellow that sent us the telegram. This is my wife, Carolyn.
How do you do?
My daughters, Mary, Laura, and Carrie.
Let me offer you my deepest condolences.
Well, who died?
Your uncle. You hadn't heard?
No, what uncle?
Edward Warren Ingalls. Perhaps he was more familiarly known to you as Uncle Ned. From St. Louis?
I don't remember my father ever mentioning an Uncle Ned.
You mean Jailbird Ned?
Right, no. Right. Pornographer Ned.
Exactly. It's like
the black sheep of the family.
This is one of those kind of weird things where, you know, nowadays you really question this kind of stuff. It's like, is he from Nigeria? You know?
Right. Right.
But, here we go. This is where you can find a little bit more about the entire situation.
Yes. Well, it seems like kind of a long time to carry a grudge.
He made you his heir.
You what?
You are inheriting his entire estate. Well, that's the purpose of my visit, of my search for you, in fact. There are some papers that have to be signed, powers of attorney, et cetera, et cetera. Enabling me, as executor of the estate, to act on your behalf in court and otherwise.
Well, wait a minute. Why'd he pick me?
I myself asked him that question when I drew up his will. Told me it was none of my business and swore at me.
Swore?
Swore?
Edward Ingalls was a, shall we say, a rather difficult man. Dear me, I'm speaking ill of the dead. I shouldn't.
You know, I still don't understand. Didn't he have any children?
No. He and his wife were not on the best of terms. She passed away some years ago.
Is it a large estate, Mr. Whitehead?
Well, I see there's been very little communication between the members of your family, Mr. Ingalls. Did you happen to take note of the buggy I drove here? I rented it from your livery stable.
No, I can't say that I did.
Have a look at it. Take a look at the plate, Mr. Ingalls.
Charles, the Ingalls Carriage Company.
So he owns a carriage company.
Right.
Which,
the beginnings of the beginnings.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty intense. Now, the Ingalls Carriage Company never existed, did it?
I don't think so. With all the research I do, you would think I would have looked that up. I did
that's
not,
fine.
But I imagine it didn't.
Yeah. Well, maybe next time you can do a little research. No, I'm kidding.
Yes.
So Harriet, being Harriet, because we all know how things happen in this little town. Like in the, I'll say no more. I'll let the Harriet speak for herself.
Pip.
Old Uncle Rich.
his name was Ned.
Oh, well, whatever. Ned.
You ladies have a wonderful chat. I've got to get to work. Bye, Carolyn.
Bye, Carolyn.
Now, Caroline, tell me all about Charles's wonderful Uncle Rich.
Ned, Mrs. Olsen.
Ned, please call me Harriet.
Call me Harriet. I love it.
Oh my god! Cannot trust that woman.
I did want to mention too, Michael Prince, the gentleman that's playing the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they got people on the show that have got some pretty impressive resumes. He was in Flippin' 3 Days of the Condor and Death Wish 3.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he passed away, unfortunately, in 2000. But yeah, 3 days of the Condor and Death Wish 3. I was just like, wow, okay.
Yeah, it's a pretty strange mix, but...
Right? Yeah. From Little House to Death Wish.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Hansen will not accept Charles' resignation.
Nope.
Miss Beadle announces a school book drive where Laura is the chairperson. Yes. And
they want Laura to be the chairwoman.
Yeah.
And of course, Charles doesn't want to resign. We're starting to see the foundation of this story that Charles and Carolyn, for the most of this story, are staying pretty level headed. It's everybody around them is getting cuckoo because they got more money than God. And so Hansen is like, I'm not going to accept your resignation. Charles is like, who said I was going to resign?
Right.
I didn't say anything about that, but Hansen is assuming, and it's starting to kind of tick Charles off.
So we also have a little bit of jealousy forming between friends, where Jonathan is kind of, well, I'm going to play that clip. And I think with anybody, I think jealousy is kind of a normal type of situation.
Well, yeah, if your friends won the lottery or something, yeah, no.
Yeah. Paying bills by the candlelight.
Yes.
Or rather, not paying the bills.
Right. No way we're even going to break even this year.
The bank will tide us.
I hate going in there with my hand out.
I suppose most people feel the same, but they go.
Yeah, bet you Charles Ingalls won't be going in there this year.
Oh!
Maybe you should add a rich uncle.
Bet you Charles Ingalls will be doing a lot of things we won't be doing this year.
Find a rich uncle.
Child didn't even know that uncle was alive. Why is it, Allison? Some folks want, others get.
Ingalls will have things they'll never even understand, like like chewing gum.
No, that's the John episode where John's cheating on Mary.
Remember that?
Yes.
Or the dark chocolate or something, you know, like...
Exactly.
They will have luxuries you could never understand.
That's right.
Buggies with cushioned seats.
Flushing toilets.
Well, I forget what those are called.
Water closets.
Yeah, water closets. Jeez. Well, the Ingalls have... I mean, the Olsons have one.
Yes. Well, not yet, but they will.
Yeah, they will. Of course they will. Andy, well, this next scene is with Andy showing his, like, how good of a kind of a person he is. And, we don't get to hear too much from Andy usually. I mean, we know he likes to mess with pipes, right? And burn houses down. But we don't really know too much about him. As a matter of fact, he kind of just popped up one day.
Yeah.
Same thing with Jonathan. We don't really have much of a backstory on them, do we?
We really don't. And it's funny, and my goodness, as much as I adore this series, off the top of my head right now, I can't think the first episode where Jonathan comes in. And, you know, it's interesting. And everybody else knows, I've read tons of stuff about Michael Landon. And apparently... When Hoss died, the guy that played Hoss on Bonanza,
mm-hmm.
who I'm having a senior moment, his name is escaping me.
I never watched Bonanza.
Well, he died very unexpectedly while they were still filming Bonanza. He had an aneurysm or something and you know, was just like you or I just waking up one day and, you know, our best friend was dead or whatever. But apparently that really haunted Michael Landon, and he always wanted a big kind of friendly guy as his buddy in his series, whether it was Victor French in Highway to Heaven or it was Jonathan in Little House. He always kind of wanted that dynamic.
Yes, that dynamic
in. So his death was very unexpected.
A gentle giant or something.
Yes, thank you. If that's the words I was looking for. Okay. Yeah, he always wanted a gentle giant. So alongside him. But I can't remember the first episode where they popped up.
Yeah,
it was almost kind of like they were there in the town. I don't remember him ever saying, "Oh, hi, I'm Jonathan. Hi, Jonathan. I'm Charles."
I wouldn't be too surprised if he just kind of showed up in the beginning of a season.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. I'm gonna have to look back on that. Yeah. I'm ashamed of myself.
But here's Andy showboating what a good person he is. Yeah.
I wondered if I could make a donation.
I don't think it's a good time to ask your pa.
Oh, I wasn't going to. I've got 15 cents that your money saved in.
Well, let's not put it to bills or anything.
Right. I was going to give that, if it's all right.
Andrew Garvey, it's more than all right. I'm very proud of you. You be sure they know you earned it yourself.
I will. Good night, Ma.
Oh boy, those
golly gee whiz. But he's got 15 cents, you know, and he wants to donate it to the book drive. And as irrelevant as that seems, it isn't, you know, it's not important to the storyline, but they do continue that with the rich Ingalls a little bit later on in the story.
Well, as with anything, we know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like, I mean, even when you're watching the episode, it's not like one day that, like, oh, okay, it's going to be Little House in the Prairie. It's going to be, you know, they're going to be rich from now on. Like, come on.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Next week, they're going back to, you know, eating, mixing mud in their coffee. So it has some substance.
So, yeah. So here's, in my opinion, maybe getting a little bit to their heads at this point.
And very best china, Charles. And she poured the coffee from a silver pot. I've never had such a fuss made over me in my life.
It must give you a very warm feeling to know that Harriet Olsen is such a good friend of ours.
Oh, yes, and she said we must come over for dinner soon, as soon as we can make it. Just name the day, she said.
Carolyn, you didn't.
I couldn't think of the name of the day.
That's my
hello, inside!
It's Reverend Alden.
All right, you know, this is what we always hear, is when you win the lottery,
right?
Everyone's hand is out.
I'm telling you, Reverend Alden doesn't waste any time.
And the preacher man has brought, you know, something to the table.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Reverend Alden. Oh, come on in. Thank you. Comfortable.
Thank you. Reverend, nice to see you.
Charles, I hope I'm not intruding.
No, not at all. Would you like some coffee?
Oh, no, thanks. I just stopped by to tell you how delighted I am over your good fortune. Oh,
thank you.
Put my hand out.
Thank you. I can tell you that Walnut Grove hasn't buzzed so since I've been here.
Yes, we've heard some of it.
I wouldn't even start to guess who.
This is awful.
Charles, as a minister, I have to do some things that, I as a layman would prefer to avoid. I'm not going to beat around the bush. There's another purpose for my visit.
Reverend, we've been thinking about what we could do for the church.
I wish there were more like you. I do hate asking.
Nah, don't be silly. Just tell us what you need. Now, we don't have any of the money yet, but we could be making plans.
Well, Charles, I know it's a lot to ask, but a Walnut Grove isn't going to get a chance like this again. I'm just going to shoot for the moon. I want a church org.
Dude.
Charles, I know it's a lot to ask.
I told you tell me what you need, and that's what you get. Church organ it is.
Bless you, Charles Ingalls.
Did you happen to find out how much a church organ of course?
Actually, I did do some digging, and I was frustrated that because I know the organ that they get is not a big church organ with the big pipes. But in the 1860s, a pipe organ like what you would have seen in a church was like $1,800. And I know that's not what they get, but I couldn't locate the type of organ that we later see. And I was thinking about that organ. I thought, what did they do with that organ when school was going on? We never, you know, we see it in a bunch of scenes later on throughout the series that they just kind of have it up there at the front, you know, of the church. But I bet you it was at least $500.
I think so.
I'm wanting to guess maybe $300 to $500. I mean, a lot of money. I mean, I saw some organs even in the 1800s that were up in the the $12,000, I mean, just like, I mean, those were going to be the big, huge ones that in the big, huge churches. But if a sewing machine was $175, I bet an organ was at least $300.
Hmm.
That's a, I don't know. We'll have to do some deeper digging on that. But yeah, pipe organs were an average pipe organ was $1,800.
But that was, you know, probably a huge custom made thing.
Right.
You know, like if you were to go back to 1900, and I know that doesn't really equal to this, and get a Steinway piano, which is the best of the best, you know.
Right.
A full standard ivory and ebony, you know, grand, it would be between $550 to $1,400.
Okay.
So I'm going to guess that it's definitely hundreds of dollars.
Yes.
I'm just not really sure. I would be very interested to know, though.
Yeah,
they would get a stand up though. They would be like a stand up piano, except it would have the organs. I mean, the pipes in it.
Yeah, but even at a couple of $100, I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot.
Do you know how much a Steinway costs nowadays?
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Jesus Christ. 2017 anyway, you're looking at between $29,000 to $161,000.
Wow.
I mean, I know somebody who has one too. She's a concert pianist and she teaches and she's one of these people who she rented her apartment, you know, since like the 60s and 70s in Manhattan. And then one day they said, well, you can buy it out. And she bought it for nothing.
Oh, right. Yeah. I was reading some articles on the internet about that a couple of months ago about some lady that was only paying like $35 a month or something for an apartment.
Oh, no, it's not quite that low. But
no, but I mean, this lady had like had the lease since like the 60s or something. And she was just paying like nothing.
It's like the I Love Lucy 99-year lease.
Right, there you go, with Fred and Ethel.
But I, you know, exactly. If you've ever seen the Odd Couple movie, her apartment's like that. It's like crazy with the beautiful crown molding and the fireplace. And,
I love that.
Like you could. It's untouchable. It's probably like a $4 or $5 million apartment now.
Wow.
But she would never sell it.
Well, of course not. No. Well, you know, Charles and Carolyn right now, they're real level-headed in this episode. But what cracks me up about this episode is like these people never learn. They try to hold on to the fact that, hey, we don't have any of this money. But it is a running theme in Little House. I even saw an episode a couple of weeks ago, and I can't even remember which episode it was now, but there's Charles sitting at the table with his pencil and his little piece of paper, and Carolyn flat out asks him, Charles, what do you do? And oh, counting my chickens before they're hatched. I mean, it's a theme in this show that, you know, we've talked about that before. The richest man in Walnut Grove. Oh, we're going to get coffee. We're going to get sugar. We're going to get shoes for the girls. And I mean, they are constantly, not constantly, but at least three times in this series, spending that money before it's ever even there. I guess it's just a human thing. I mean, we all roll it around in our heads and do it. I've done it before. I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's always fun to spend money you don't have yet.
Exactly.
I just did it for a really overly priced. Well, no, it's not overly priced. It's just a very expensive. It without boring everyone, it's basically a thing called a router, which it basically is a computer controlled router, so that I can design something and it just cuts it out of wood.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm going to be doing like custom guitar bodies and stuff.
Oh.
But it's very intricate work that it can do. It can do like down to like a tenth of a millimeter. So these carvings can be very, very, very in depth.
Wow. Yeah. Almost kind of like a wood laser cutter. Laser cut wood?
Except it's using an actual tool like to carve it.
And you just change the bits. Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe a piece you design will end up in an auction like Charles Ingalls, where the people buy the table with
my wife is very happy about this particular purchase. It's very, awesome. Very few credit cards give you a call to say, all right, we just want to make sure this was a correct purchase.
It's right. There you go. That's exciting. Okay, you're going to have to put some of that stuff up on Facebook. I want to see the creations.
Well, it's probably not going to happen. I have to build it. It comes as a kit because of the size of the one I'm getting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, wow.
I went all out for this one. But anyway, it's called a CNC machine if anybody wants to just kind of Google it and look at it. It's really interesting. But so word spreads very quickly, as we know. And this is big news. This is big news in Walnut Grove and Plum Creek, everything. So even the newspaper wants to get involved. So they put on their best clothing, rags, and they go into town, and this is what happens.
Any other
yet? Oh, good, Charles, Caroline.
Hello.
There's somebody here wants to meet you. Come on in. Come on.
We're going to have another nice talk about my Uncle Rich.
You'll never guess. Come on in. Come on. Oh, Charles, Caroline, this is Mr. Otto Ripley of the St. Louis Eagle.
Those bowls that are in front of them, are those for washing your hands? And
you know, I don't know.
I don't know. You don't have it in front of you, right?
No, I don't have it in front of me.
Basically, they're porcelain pitchers inside of a large, like, punch bowl.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's for I made one of those when I was pregnant with my daughter. I went to one of those, you know, places where you glaze.
Like a ceramic class.
Yeah. Thank you. Ceramics. Hello. And yeah, my senior citizenship is showing. Yeah, I made one of those. But yeah, they had those on the little tables in the bedrooms and stuff. Since they didn't have running water, you know, they just have the pitcher with the water and throw the water in the bowl and splash their face and, you know, take a little sink bath.
Fancy.
Yeah.
Mr. Ripley, these are our famous heirs, the Ingalls. Oh, you dear, let me take your eggs from you. Now, Mr. Ripley has come here all the way from St. Louis to do a story about you for his paper. Can you imagine that?
Photography, that sort of thing. Take about an hour or two of your time if you could find it convenient. You and your family, that is.
Well, why would anybody want to take any photographs of us?
Don't you realize the size of the fortune you've inherited?
No, do you?
Well, not exactly. But I'd say it's more than everyone in this town. Half a dozen towns around it. Banks included could put together.
Sure know a lot about
it. I'd like to do it at your place, if you don't mind. Would tomorrow be all right?
We're talking $40. I can only imagine. I mean, this is the kind of stuff that really messes with your mind.
Yes. like I said, they're saying pretty level-headed, but...
I don't know. You hear stuff like this, and all of a sudden you...
Yeah.
You're thinking, you know, you have almost unlimited funds. It's pretty interesting.
I know, and I started getting this episode confused in my head with the episode where Laura and her friend dig all the gold out of the creek.
Oh,
and the fantasy scenes where they're all dressed in white and everything. Right, the fool's gold. Yeah, I know it's not the right episode, but yeah, I for some reason it started flipping in my head thinking about them being rich. But no, not the same episode, although they do get nicer clothes.
Yeah, but here they do get talked into... nicer clothes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Charles, he's going to take our picture.
Oh, awesome. So what? I mean, you've had your picture taken before.
Not for a newspaper.
Well, we'll put on our Sunday finds.
Oh, no, no, no. That will never do. No. You must look your very, very best to have your pictures taken for the newspaper. Now, Nell's brought in a new shipment of fine new clothes just the other day.
We can't pay for them, Mrs. Olson.
Oh, Harriet. You and your jokes. Well, you know that your credit's always been good with us, Charles.
Really?
And now it's even better.
Right.
Oh, Caroline, I have the perfect dress for you. Oh, yes, it's very, very smart. It's elegant but simple. And Nils has some nice broadcloth suits, Charles. I'm sure that there'll be one that will fit you. And there's some lovely little dresses for the girls.
Oh, Charles, can we?
Oh.
Look, you might as well stay in town, try the dresses on. I'll bring the girls over after school.
All right, fine. We'll see you then. Come on, Caroline.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, Lord. Come on, Caroline.
It's like, look who you're becoming friends with.
Oh, my gosh.
So yeah, Pa bought
her a clue.
Pa buys the books for the school. He's the hero for the day. And he even orders the organ on credit.
Yes.
It's like, you know what? And they don't mention at all how much it's going to be, right? I mean, they just...
No, they don't. But but the last time the school got books was when the grumpy banker was there when he bought, you know, books for the school. And yeah, and those were... I can't remember how much they said those books were going to be, like $25 or something, which, of course, you're talking, you know, 400 and something, the equivalent of 400 and something dollars today. So he's racking up the money.
Yeah.
And we have that sweet little scene with Andy where he's wanting to donate his 15 cents and Laura goes up to Miss Beadle and says, you know, my dad's going to buy all the books. And every time I see that scene, I'm always like, well, you know what, Miss Beadle, come on. This is a big fail for Miss Beadle. She could have let all the kids contribute whatever it was they wanted to contribute and then let Laura make up the difference. So I'm being school marmy teacher.
I don't know if I buy into that. It's kind of like, you know, if someone is a total, you know, millionaire or, you know,
right.
And it's like, what are they going to do? Ask their wife to like go work at a part-time job to bring in, you know, so you can bring in an extra, like, you know, $180, you know, a week or so. You know, it's just not going.
You still working that part-time job at Macy's?
Right.
Yeah, isn't that right? Yeah, I know. That's my little house brain. My little house brain is saying,
well,
Miss Beadle should have let those kids contribute what they could, so they didn't feel left out and marginalized.
By the way, how horrible is it when? Oh well, we'll get to it. So.
Want to work on the clubhouse? Got your new school dress? Of course not. Just for best. Sundays, maybe.
Sure isn't for building a clubhouse. You look like Nellie Olson.
Oh, jeez.
Andrew Garvey, you take that back.
It's a low blow.
Exactly. A low blow. You look like Nellie Olson.
Like, that's like saying, like, you know, it's like spinning there.
Yeah, so they're all starting to go a little cuckoo here.
They start buying gifts for each other. Charles and Caroline to give each other a very good clip.
That's my favorite
clip.
Scene yeah, because of the David Rose music. It's real heavy and strings, and it's just real romantic and just, oh, I just love it.
Here we go. Also, I forgot to point this out. When Harriet says that Nels has some broad suits.
Broadcloth, yeah.
Because he's so big. Like, it's just so weird. Like, we, you know, they normally only buy suits for, you know, petite men.
Right. Well, broadcloth was actually the name of a cloth.
Really?
I didn't research that, but yeah, broadcloth was.
I thought it was
a type of fabric.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a type of fabric.
All right, then I take back what I said.
Okay.
Come on, Carolyn, just tell me what's in the box.
I told you. Groceries.
Well, groceries spoil if you keep too long.
These won't.
Oh, Carolyn.
If you must know, it's for your birthday.
My birthday's not for 3 weeks. I can't wait 3 weeks to open that.
You're worse than the girls.
All right, forget it.
All right.
Doesn't matter to me. Of course, I bought a few groceries myself. Your birthday, but your birthday is 3 months away. I only have to wait 3 weeks. You have to wait 3 months.
Charles, that's not fair.
What's fair for me is fair for you. You gotta wait 3 months. Of course, I'm not stopping you. Me too.
Oh, it's you.
Twice.
Do you like it?
Do I like it? I love it.
Oh, I love you.
It's so funny that, those wood files, I actually own a couple.
Do you?
Yeah, they're very, I was very lucky and I purchased, oh God, I can't remember the name off the top of my head. I'm looking it up right now. But, you know, there's this collection of late 1800s, files, like wood files, and that's essentially, I mean, these are all woodworking tools that she bought for him. And
right. I wish I would have known you when my grandfather passed away. When my grandfather passed away, they lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, had a 4-story brownstone, a basement, 2 stories, and then an apartment on the top. And in the basement, my parents were there because my grandfather was a hoarder. They were literally there for 6 weeks after he passed away, and they actually took pictures of the mounds of garbage. I don't mean garbage or stuff that they had to throw out, but in that basement, and it killed me because my parents know nothing about antiques, and they wouldn't let me come because it was a real emotional thing for my dad, and he didn't want to be emotional in front of his kids. And anyway, blah, blah, blah. But that basement was filled with antique tools.
Wow.
He had furniture in his house that was pre-Civil War, marble top furniture, and they knew nothing about the value of it. And I'm sure they just let people go down in that basement and pick whatever. And they were probably paying $1 for something. Yeah.
Well,
killed me.
Sometimes, you know, that stuff, it's tough. It really is tough because sometimes you'll go to a garage sale and you'll find something that's really great.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you have to kind of ask yourself, like, well, should I let this person know or not? I mean, I guess if it's something that's very, very expensive.
Right. But you see it all the time. I love to watch Antique Roadshow, of course. And every once in a while you get that person, oh, I picked this up for $2 at Goodwill or at a garage sale or whatever. And it's like a $10,000 painting or, you know, Civil War sword or something, because people and stuff like that doesn't have, it kills me. You know, back in the day, back in the 70s and stuff, I remember I used to go to the flea market with my sister every weekend, and we had a really good friend that was a movie buff, and it still kills me to this day. He had the entire lobby card collection of To Kill a Mockingbird, and I didn't buy it. And now it's not worth anything, but in the 80s and in the 70s, that stuff was going for a truckload of money.
Yeah. And, it's funny
because if you
think back to all the opportunities that you kind of passed on it, you know, you kill yourself. It's,
yes.
Like, I had an opportunity to buy all of these 1920s movie posters, all like from horror movies. And if I,
right.
But you know what? I didn't have, I think it was like $3,000 for a ridiculous amount of them. And it would have ended up being a really remarkable investment, but I just didn't have that extra kind of those funds, you know, as a kid.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I was a kid too. I think I was in junior high school and I was just totally crazy about that film. Still am. And it's my daughter and mine's favorite. And it's just like, oh, I would have killed to have had all those lobby cards. But now, you know, the value of it, I think because of eBay and, you know, when I first discovered eBay, I went little house crazy because stuff I had been looking for forever, it's like you could just pop it up on eBay. And the only thing I didn't buy off eBay, Little House related, that I wish I had was that somebody that worked on Little House actually sold their Little House belt buckle. Michael Landon designed Little House on the Prairie belt buckles for all of the crew. For That's 1 year for Christmas. And this guy, whoever he was or she was, they actually had that thing on eBay and I did not buy it. And man, I wish I would have. Oh, it just
kills me. It's one of those things. It's, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, that's also why you have to keep a keen eye out for certain things. And,
I still have my NBC poster, so I don't care. I still have my NBC poster.
Yeah, like I bought so many things that people, you know, cringe when I tell them how little I paid. So,
right, I know
guitars and all that kind of good stuff. So I definitely have made up for it. It's just there are certain things that you just kind of wish you had either the hindsight or the cash for.
Right, exactly.
But, all right, so the photographer gets to the house, and I'm really curious to take a closer look at the equipment that he uses.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, is it not period? Worth. Well, it's keep in mind, a lot of people collect old cameras from this period, and they're not worth anything. They're garbage. Right. They're deteriorated, they're rusty, they're awful, they're not workable. They look cool, and that's it. And they're not worth nearly as much money as what people are claiming. They're not rare, I guess.
Exactly.
Come on inside, we're gonna get those pictures taken.
Come right in, Mr. Ripley.
Right.
Would you like a cup of coffee? Girls, lend a hand. Laura, will you get Mr. Ripley a chair, please? There's some biscuits and some honey.
This won't do at all. What's the matter? This? And this? Have you always lived like this?
Well, no, I mean, we lived in the Saudi for a while, but I built the house as soon as I could. I put a new kitchen on. What won't do?
Well, look at you, man. Look at your clothes.
Well, what's the matter with these clothes?
They won't do. You look like city people.
Well, what's the matter with city people? You're from the city.
That's not what my readers want.
Could you make yourself a little clearer then?
Here, look at this and this and this. This is what my readers want. They want to cry over the hardships you've suffered. They want to see the starvation.
Well, we've had our share of troubles, you know.
They want to rejoice with you and for you for the good fortune that's befallen you. Don't you understand?
That I'm beginning to. You want them to pity us and then feel happy for us.
Exactly.
And there you go. There's the
National Enquirer.
Well, no, this is the beginning of the manipulation of media.
Yes, there you go. You know, fake news.
It is kind of fake news.
It turns out to be, after they see the article in the paper, it's absolutely fake news.
Man, spoiler alert here.
Sorry.
So Charles, you know, I think that the photographer is pushing some buttons with Charles.
Yes.
And let's see where this goes.
We at the brink of starvation. And I cried at the sight of them.
You're going to have to cry for someone else.
Huh?
I said, I'm afraid you're going to have to cry for someone else. We're not going to give you a story.
I
know. That's just the problem, Mr. Ripley.
Please,
you do not
please,
understand.
You can't.
But I am doing it, Mr. Ripley.
Well, it's always funny when Pa overreacts and physically throws a man out of the house. Yeah, that's always funny. Jeez.
That's
people learn nothing.
Joke. I know.
So Charles's anger crosses over to even his friends, his poor friends rather.
Right.
That because here's the thing. You pointed this out earlier. They're saying over and over and over again, "I am as broke as I started before the news. The news is not money. It's just news." So let's hear this little. I don't even know what to call it. This little chat.
Good. Yeah, we ought to get to clearing those new fields pretty soon. Start with yours and do mine. How's next week suit you?
Yeah, I already started on mine.
Yeah, well, it's too much work for one man. Why'd you start without me?
I've been working with Fred Wilson. Me and him been trading off.
Well, what about our deal?
Yeah, figured with all your money, you'd be hiring somebody to do yours, wouldn't be needing me.
Next time, let me do my own thinking.
Jonathan has shown time and time again to not exactly be the best friend, I think.
Yeah, his character, even though he's a simple man, a good guy, a gentle giant, and all that stuff. He can kind of go off into weird.
Yeah, like when he found with the telephone episode where when he finds out about his wife, and just blows up and.
Well, not only that, the episode where he and his bride almost get divorced because she goes and gets a job at the post office after he, you know, loses his crop or whatever the deal was. And he sometimes he's just like this, I mean, the quintessence of just a hard-headed dope. He just doesn't listen and just kind of just goes into, I don't know, sometimes he just goes into real stubborn, weird places.
So in this episode, we also have spent a lot of time in the mercantile. So we're spending a lot of that dough.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's Harriet bringing up something that's interesting for the whole story.
Charles, yes. Well, so much time has passed already, and my creditors are pressing on me. Why, the Oregon company has threatened to take legal action unless some sort of payment is made.
Oh, no, I understand now. I've written to Mr. Whitehead 5 times trying to get the business settled. I know I've run my bill up a little bit high.
Oh, yes, to an embarrassing degree. But I have no doubt that you will honor it just as soon as the estate is settled. But my creditors are business people too, you understand, and they want some kind of proof of payment. So I've taken the liberty of getting this form, Charles. It's just standard, believe me.
That's a lien on my farm, Mrs. Olson.
Yes. Well, you see, the law requires that any existing assets be put up. You can check with the banker. I'm terribly sorry about this, Charles, but, well, my creditors can be so demanding, too.
I'm sure they can.
Well, if you just sign here, Charles. Please understand me, Charles. I'm sorry to have to do this, but I really have no alternative.
Neither do I.
Please understand, Charles.
I do, Mrs. Olson.
For a guy who didn't want to run up his credit, he sure... I can only imagine. Like $800 maybe at this point?
Oh, yeah, I would think. Yeah, that's why I was trying to think of the price of got the organ, you got the dresses, you got the, oh, man, the tools, the brooch watch thing for Carolyn, the books for the school. I mean, he got some money. He has spent some money.
So we also, Charles in his day job, has a little chat with Hanson.
Mankato News has you on the front page. It says reprinted by courtesy of the St. Louis Eagle. Courtesy. Just look at that picture. That isn't even you and your family.
First met the family of Charles Ingalls in front of their hovel on a cold February morning.
Wow.
Just finished their last crumb of moldy bread.
You ought to go to St. Louis and wring that fella's neck.
I've got the time.
Did you have a chance to think over that business proposition? I'll give the mill to you cheap. Charles, where are you going?
I'm going home. I don't have to work anymore. Haven't you heard? I'm rich.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so everybody just kind of going, cuckoo. About this money.
But you know what? It's going to all work out because they basically get a box of something.
Yeah.
Please come in.
Is your husband home?
Well, he's out in the fields. It's all settled then.
Yes, it is. Except for the signing of some necessary papers.
Yeah, it's just... Well, how much does it all come to?
This is a matter we shall have to discuss at some length, Mrs. Ingalls.
I see.
Dun, dun, dun.
Please sit down. I'll just get my husband. I'll be right back.
It's all gonna go downhill.
Right. Wah, wah.
I'm looking for the...
He was quite an unusual man. Eccentric. Mild word for
Would you believe it? He kept the stars and bars flying above his house till the day of his death. He used to march around the house singing. Shouting would be a better word. I wish I was in Dixie. Stark naked, if you'll pardon the expression.
We understand all that, Mr. Whitehead.
Holy moly.
What is the estate worth?
He was as profligate with his money as he was in his behavior. Business and personal. Estate was eaten up by debts, court costs, legal fees. Except for the contents of this box, which is yours, in total.
This crummy old box.
Right?
You're telling me that about the buggies and all of that, this is all that's left, is this box?
Yes. I assure you, my fees, the fees of the other attorneys, are no greater than the law allows. I shaved mine considerably, in fact. Figures.
Let's just cut to the cheese here. So Charles is opening it. Gold!
Confederate money.
Whoops.
Too bad you don't have a time machine.
All right.
Sorry. As I intimated, he was a rather eccentric man. I'm sorry.
Now, Confederate money is still worthless. I mean, even in the collector's market, how much of this stuff did they print up?
Right.
I mean, you can go on eBay and buy, a Confederate bill for, like, a buck.
Wow. You know?
And of course it holds no legal, tender amount of money. That was a real crazy thing, right? I mean,
yeah,
for them to create their own currency, geez. Basically it's a box full of like 100,000, Confederate bucks.
Right.
You know, the best you can do with that is maybe burn it for fuel.
Exactly.
So he did sign that paper, right?
Yes.
And if there's one thing we've learned is that when you sign papers in Walnut Grove, it's always bad.
Half of this business is in my name, and you will not do it.
My name is on that lien, and not yours. Now, Mr. Ingalls, the auctioneer should be here by the end of the week.
I could work that debt off, Mrs. Olson. Now, you know that.
Well, maybe you could, and maybe you couldn't. But now your bill has never run so high before, Mr. Ingalls. As I told you before, no one is sorrier for you than I am, but the creditors are after me, too.
Would it do any good if I begged?
Mr. Ingalls, a man should not spend money that he doesn't have. Now, I'm sorry.
She's got a good point.
Well.
Oh, don't you look at me like that. You're the one who extended the credit to him. Now, you wanted to make a sale just as much as I did.
God forgive me. You're right.
God won't forgive you.
That gives me that. It's so silly. It's like I've only seen this again, like all of them 10,000 times. But when Nell says that, it just gives me chill bumps. It's just like, oh,
it's sad. It's
just,
because, you know,
yeah, it's just like, wow. I'm the nice guy. I'm Nell's. I'm but man, it got me too.
Right up there with him losing the crops and
it's like the greed got to even to Nell's, the fair-minded. Nice guy that puts up with Harriet's crap 24/7, but it got to him too.
Yeah.
He wanted to make a sale.
So they're a little bit concerned as to what's going to happen. So Caroline and him are talking in the barn that soon to be sold to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm. Hard to say. Be a lot of bargain hunters, that's for sure. Mrs. Olson, the rest of them are going to be here pretty soon. Why don't you and I just go in the house and not be here when they come?
So they go into their house, they're hiding away, and the auction is inevitable. It's coming. And pretty much the whole... Everybody must be shocked. You know, just... They can't believe it. I think we see a couple people we've never seen before. Right? Is there?
Nope. Everybody that's in the barn is town folk, and that is intentional, as we come to find out. I can't remember if I clipped that or not.
Let me see.
What? But Mr. Woods, nobody's here from out of town yet.
If they were coming, they'd be here. All right, folks. We'll start the bidding with this fine toolbox here. I'm sure you've all had a chance to look at it. Have an offer? Any offer. How about starting the bidding with $10? Do I hear $10?
1 cent.
This isn't a comedy, sir. This is an auction. Do I hear an offer of $5? $5, ladies and gentlemen, for this fine toolbox in new condition.
2 cents.
Well, I see we have a number of comedians present, but let's not take up the time of the more serious folks, huh? Now, do I have an offer of $5? $4. And you'll never get a better bargain in your life.
You got two bids now. Top one's for 2 cents. Now, the law says you...
I know what the law is, sir. Do I hear any other bids? Bid 2 cents. Do I hear three? Two and a. Sold to the gentleman standing here. Cash, if you don't mind, sir.
Love it. Love it, love it.
Get on with the selling.
Well, we've had our little joke. Now, shall we come down to business? That team of horses out in the corral would go for $100 on the market. But I'll let the bidding start with...
1 cent.
2 cents.
Do I hear any other bids? The team is sold for 2 cents to the gentleman of the cloth.
Let's get on with the auction.
All right, I see what I'm up against. This entire farmhouse, barn, outbuildings, furnishings,
I'm gonna
and
let it play
stock
for
is on the block.
Okay.
Well, you're an offer?
1 cent.
$400.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Olson, but the creditor in a case is not allowed to bid up his own auction.
Well, then the law should not permit penny bids.
All right, let's get on with the auction. I'll bid 2 cents.
I'm bid 2 cents for this property, ladies and gentlemen. Do I hear another offer? Two. Sold to the gentleman here for 2 cents.
So, of course, you know, they come and they manipulate this, and they basically...
Yeah.
I mean...
They absolutely... But I agree with Harriet, and I never say that.
Oh, I agree with Harriet.
That tasted really bad in my mouth. But I think that's... The law shouldn't allow that. That's just... That's messed up.
Well, it depends on what it is, you know? What if it was a stick of gum?
Yeah.
So... But you know, I also feel bad for Harriet because, you know, this means that... Well, I'm kind of curious, actually. Does this mean that the money that is owed to the creditors is dissolved? Or is she still on the...
I don't know. I think there's a little bit of an answer to that in a clip.
Yeah, I'm... Oh, okay. I'm sorry if that is. let's see.
I'm with you.
Come on.
We wanted you to know that everything went in the auction. I bought your farm.
Bastard.
The music, right? You bastard. I'd
feel better about it if a stranger had bought it.
I couldn't turn it down, Charles. I only had to pay 2 cents for it.
What are you talking about, 2 cents?
Well, it was the same price for your toolbox, and the Reverend here, he bought your team. We didn't let anybody in from outside Walnut Grove. Nell saw to that. He stood out on the main road and told everybody the sale was off.
We even had to kill a man.
That's right.
Well,
with a machete.
We figure it all comes to about 6 cents if you want to buy it back, and you don't have to worry about your cash because your credit's good with us, Charles.
I'm sure the congregation
will dig
deep when they hear the organ playing.
And it's the duty of the school board to buy the new books, so we're going to do it.
Nell said the rest could wait until you're back on your feet. He knows you'll work it out.
I don't know what to say.
Then don't say anything. Let us. We're sorry.
All of us, Charles. You know, it wasn't you that changed. It was all of us around you. I think we're all almost back to normal now.
I think I heard Mary go, but don't worry, because I'm going to need expensive glasses soon.
Exactly.
And I'll be going blind, and that will cost a lot of money because there'll be an operation. So you'll never, ever get out from the hole that you've started digging.
That's right.
Holy moly.
I know, but we never see the girls wear the dresses again, like so many, you know, episodes, plots. We never see those dresses again.
I would guess they returned everything.
Yeah, I would think so. You're right. I never thought about that. But yeah, I'm sure that they returned the dresses,
the brooch, and everything.
The folks are going to dig deep when they hear the organ playing, according to Reverend Alden.
I'm gonna guess that toolbox is $15 or $20.
Yeah, probably so. Yeah. But on the jewelry, the prices of jewelry that I was getting for the 1800s, it was just talking about rings. A plain gold locket was $1.50. Earrings were $3. A plain gold ring was $2. So that was a watch. So it was probably more than that.
Swiss, yeah. Probably very expensive.
But this is a good episode, though, because I really like it. At the end, we get the warm fuzzies, and everybody, regardless of how nice of people they might be, they still got negatively influenced by money. I mean, we expected it from the Olsons, but the jealousy from Jonathan and the schmoozing with, Nellie, I didn't clip it, but Nellie starts following Laura and Mary home from school. All of a sudden, she's their best, their best friend. So it's a nice warm fuzzy at the end that everybody's going to pull together and get Charles out the hole one more time.
Yeah, I enjoyed this episode.
That's good.
And good one. Well, thank you very much for getting together tonight.
You're very welcome.
And I look forward to doing a whole bunch more.
Yes. I told you I could do one every day, and I probably literally could. I love it.
We have to work that into the schedule. But if you want to listen to all the other Walnut Grove casts, you can go to VHSRewind.com and click the Walnut Grove cast button. Or you just search Walnut Grove cast in iTunes, and it'll pop up.
Yes, it will.
Actually, if you're listening to this, I'm going to guess you've not left a review for Walnut Grove Cast. So if you could leave a review for Walnut Grove Cast in iTunes, it would be appreciated.
Absolutely. Share your love of Little House.
Yeah, seriously. Especially with all of it popping up in the news again. Hopefully it will only...
Yes.
It will only bring people to go and back to the show and start watching it.
Yes. that would be a great payoff for all this stuff in the news about Laura Ingalls. Well, like I said, another podcast. It's so interesting.
I just didn't know she was so racist.
Yeah.
Jeez. You know what? I'm really just glad that the social justice warriors in this world have brought it to my attention that Laura Ingalls was just a racist.
Right. Exactly. I mean,
maniacs.
If we're going to start with that, then I guess we need to have a middle of the town book burning and throw, one of my favorite books, Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. It's got the N-word in it. Let's burn it to the ground. I mean,
there are so many books that Black Boy, the song Black Boy. I mean, the book Black Boy, like you can go back in literature and find some very, very outdated ways of thought. But right. I think it's just so important that these ways of thought are caught. It's just manic to think for one moment that our freedom of speech and literature is being touched upon like this.
Yeah, it's terrifying. But it's so interesting how things are hidden. You know, I think that's why everybody got so gaga about the Prince Harry Meghan Markle wedding, because she is of mixed heritage. And then come to find out that she was not the first royal that was of mixed heritage. The queen, I can't remember her name now, but it was all over the internet that, hello, there was a black queen in England back in the day.
There's
pictures of her, and they tried to paint her to look white, but nobody ever discussed that. And so when Meghan was fixing to marry Harry, they were like, hey, you know, I know y'all think this is cool, and it is very cool, but let me introduce you a little bit to England's history. And there was actually a black queen in England that was married to the king. So in some ways, it's very exciting that the conversation is stirring. And in some ways, it feels like the tides are turning a little bit. But some of it is just cuckoo. It's just, you cannot erase history. It is what it is.
Yeah, I remember the old days where it was just, you know, the little rascals were racist. But now everything is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and every, not everything is, but yes, there is a lot of everything racist, is.
There's nothing,
you know, stuff.
There's almost nothing that you can bring up that was made before the 1980s that you can't say on some level is incorrect or wrong or something. I mean, right down to Jaws, you know?
when I saw the thing about Laura Ingalls being, you know, Laura Ingalls Wilder and people raising Cain about, you know, Dr. Tan and the Indians and all that stuff, I thought, oh, we're never going to see that Willis episode again.
Oh, jeez. With Todd Bridges? Yeah, when he was the slave boy who ran away.
That wants Charles to buy him.
You know what? Why don't we just ban also the Sylvia episode? I mean, you know, we need to protect people because, you know what? She wasn't dealt with correctly. You know, her father didn't believe her and all of this other stuff. And, you know, God forbid my kid gets to see that, you know, you just cannot protect everybody from everything. And some things just don't need to be protected from.
Well, and not only that, and even if people need to be protected from things, if we could look at it in a mature way, instead of going into the denial corner, why can't we use an episode like that to, create an honest dialogue with our children? Why don't we sit down and watch that together and let's talk about that instead of people being so afraid to talk about this and talk about that truth?
Hmm. Yeah. And you know what? We're all better for learning about these things.
Absolutely.
But, you know, the one thing that we can't do is to censor or take away awards, and it's just silly at this point.
Well, it is silly, and I'm going to Dr. Phil it by saying that you cannot heal what you're not willing to acknowledge. If you're going to be in denial about the true history, how can you acknowledge it and then begin to heal it if you're not even willing to admit that it happened and it existed in the first place?
I agree with
that. You cannot heal what you're not willing to even acknowledge existed. Mm-hmm. And it did.
Well, that concludes our show. Susan, thank you so much for getting together tonight. I appreciate you taking the time to do it. And so we'll catch you next time and bring you a couple more episodes. Time is going Watch the day.